Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. I hope that you are wearing your green today here in the radio newsroom. We are indecisive on whether or not pinching is still a thing that is allowed and appropriate. I think HR may come and have a conversation with you if your pinching got out of hand.
Oh, she's going to come in anyway. So. I already know it.
We'll have to have the talk. Yesterday, brackets for the NCAA tournament were announced. Some hearts were broken, but not very many in the SEC. 14 of the 16 SEC teams got into the tournament, which is just a level of crazy. And I haven't looked. I think it was only like 3 or 4 ACC teams got in. And usually ACC is the big basketball, the North Carolina Dukes, Wake Forest. And the SEC has always been the football conference, but not anymore. And it's not just at the low end of the bracket that the SEC was sneaking teams in. 2 number 1 seeds, 2 number 2 seeds, I think 6 or 7 in the top 4 of the top 4 seeds went to the SEC, which is absolutely tremendous. Good for them. Over the past next couple of days, people are going to be spending, you know, as it always goes, people are going to be spending lots of time figuring out who the winning brackets, because they're going to enter in their office pools, and the person who's like, I like their mascot, that's the person
that's
that always wins.
Yes.
Those are the people who always win the bracket contest. As we are beginning our week here today, one thing that we're talking about is the beginning of the Trump administration. We are halfway through the Trump's first 100 days in office. And throughout those 100 days in office, they are often seen as the key opportunity for the president to get their agenda through Congress. This president, Donald Trump, is not really utilizing Congress a ton. He did get a key thing passed over the weekend, to kind of pass an emergency extension of the budget of federal spending. So that we didn't encumber problems with the debt ceiling. There was some mixed views by Republicans on voting for it, because any kind of extension of current spending levels just extends the Biden policies for another 6 to 7 months. And I think that's why they got, 10 or 11 votes of Democrats in the Senate, including Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, voted for the package. And I think that's because they were super excited to continue the Biden administration policies for a while. Earlier on, we kind of talked about the Trump economic kind of cutting government plan and how successful that is. The other big part of his first 50 days in office have been foreign relations, which he inherited two very significant conflicts around the world. One in Ukraine, where Ukraine and Russia continue to be at odds, and then also in the Middle East, and two things that happened over the weekend. There were some airstrikes in Yemen that are causing some tension between Iran, U.S., and generally the whole region. And then this week, the president's going to be sitting down with Vladimir Putin to try to get agreement to, I have not read enough about it yet, but I'm assuming to get agreement to what Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Ukraine had kind of negotiated down to. Now President Trump is taking those terms to Vladimir Putin to try to get them to agree to something. I think a very hard position for the United States to be in is Ukraine wants a very specific end to the situation. Russia wants a very specific end to the situation. Whether or not you believe one side or the other is right or not right, one thing I think we can all believe in is the United States cannot continue to just spend and spend and spend and spend between this battle of two parties. Personally, my personal beliefs is that Russia is the aggressor in the situation. Ukraine is trying to defend itself, but there is a point to how long we can continue to allow United States spending to back up Ukraine if anything, it should be a NATO responsibility or some of the UN responsibility, some of these international organizations that are built for this purpose, and not so much a United States situation. But President Trump is doing his best to bring the conflict to an end. I wish him the best and success in bringing both these conflicts to an end. You know, Russia and Ukraine have gone back and forth over the past 10, 15 years, some going back and forth. And in the Middle East, they have been going back and forth, going back to the Crusades. And so it is a conflict that we have been searching for peace in the Middle East since hundreds of years. And hopefully this current attempt at peace in the Middle East will be more successful than what we have seen to date. It is 6:15. It is time for traffic on the Vibes.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Still looking good on I-10, I-110, even 9 miles, not really showing any slowdowns. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Hey, if you've got a leak or a drip or a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or the water temperature or the water pressure is not good, call Barbary Plumbing. They can fix it for you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, including fixing the fixes that you fixed badly. Guilty. 477-8782. They were great for Barbary Plumbing.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Earlier this morning, we were talking about having conversations with our children over the cell phone and the texting and the things like that back and forth. There's actually a House and Senate bill, House Bill 931 and Senate Bill 1438 in the Florida legislature that would require app stores to get parental notification, parental support before downloading any apps on the phone of the child.
I already do this. Right.
And so this is one of those things that the idea that I have access to what my child has on their phone is a great idea. The companies have already set that up, and it's an issue where it's my libertarian streak inside of me. I don't like when the government tells me how I need to raise my kids. And I don't need this in my life. I don't agree. I don't disagree with anything they're trying to do, except the part that the government is making this something that is necessary. If you chose to raise your child in a manner that you were like, I trust you, I'm going to let you do whatever you want to because I trust you, I wouldn't hate it. It's how you're parenting your kid. It can be your responsibility in how you do things. But the government coming in and saying, you can't do this unless you do this, I hate it when they do those things. Like, I am also the guy who, I wear my seatbelt, but I hate that I have to wear my seatbelt.
Right.
And if I'm 100% honest, I didn't necessarily always wear my seatbelt until I had a child. And then I felt like I had a responsibility level of, but I don't need the government to protect me from myself. How does it endanger anybody else besides myself to wear the seatbelt? I don't understand. But it is what it is. And it's, I have a bigger problem with seatbelt laws than I do with red light cameras, because red light cameras only catch me doing something if I'm doing something illegal.
Exactly.
And it's just, you know, very early on in my career, I worked for a congressman. His name was J.C. Watts, and he was very famous for saying integrity or character. He would go back and forth. Usually he'd say character. Character's doing what's right when nobody's looking. Red light cameras are out there to, you broke the law. Whether or not somebody saw you break the law or was not there to see you break the law, you are breaking the law. And it's a little invasive, and you can maybe say, I wasn't driving my car at the time, or there are all kinds of excuses that happens. But I don't have a huge problem with it, because you should be following the laws at all times, not just when there's a cop right behind you. I try to follow the laws at all times, and it doesn't, and you may be a better person than I am. I may be driving down the road with two hands on the wheel, nothing on the radio, going 2 miles an hour under the speed limit, but there's a cop behind me, my heart races just a little bit more, because for some reason, I'm just sure I'm going to get pulled over for something. I don't know if I've ever been pulled over for anything in my life, but that fear of getting pulled over because there's somebody watching me, it's just, I recoil anytime that I see something that is the government getting involved in telling me how I need to parent, how I need to do my life.
So how do you feel about the bill that's going through the legislature right now about banning cell phones in schools? Because right now, my son goes to Milton High School. They put their phones in a bag in the back of the room. And that's one of the teachers. That's how she takes attendance. I don't really get it. But you know, we were talking earlier about your child has a phone now. What are your thoughts?
I think that I have no problem with the school being very cut and dry about what happens if they see your cell phone during school hours in the classroom in an area that it's not allowed to be in. I don't know how I feel about the legislature saying you can't have your phone on your body when you go to school, because a lot of times your kid may be going to school, then doing an after-school activity, and then depending on their age, going to work, going to do the things.
Or you may say, hey, I got to pick you up, or hey, ride the bus.
Yep.
And it's much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I am, but again, I have no problem with the teacher, the principal, the whatever, saying, I saw your son's, like if there is a, I saw your son's phone in classroom, the first time I took it away, the second time we sent it to the principal's office, the third time he can't have it. And he, like, if my child is breaking the rules of what is supposed to be happening in the classroom as a distraction, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with them saying, you can't, like, no, you can't do it. And I think oftentimes, we often have laws because this one thing happened that one time. And so now we need to have a law that changes everything for everybody. And I think that's oftentimes unnecessary, or you have laws that are solutions in search of a problem. And I do know that I have friends who are teachers, and cell phones are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even my wife is a university professor. Cell phones are a problem for her. And sometimes students are using it to take notes, but a lot of times they're just not paying attention to what's going on. And so I understand the theory about what's going on, but I do think that throwing the baby out with the bathwater is a little bit about what's going on right there. It is just not super necessary to me for this strong of a thing, particularly when I think even when I went to purchase a cell phone for my child, like it was already put in that it was a minor and I had to go through the process of doing all of that stuff.
Yes.
It wasn't like I had to do it. The cell companies and all that, they had set that up in that manner. I didn't have to spend any time setting it up to do that. It just automatically defaulted to that. So I don't know what the point of this is unless, you know, maybe some of the smaller phone providers don't do that, but it seems completely unnecessary to me.
And another thing is they're way behind on technology.
Oh, yeah.
My Apple Watch, cellular-based, I can do anything I need to from right here.
Yep.
I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. It is 6:25. It is time for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're trying, if you're coming from Pace on Highway 90, coming into Pensacola, you're going to see about a 3 to 5 minute delay there. That is the only delay I'm seeing this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. And now let's head over to David Wayne in the newsroom.
Well, there's a hearing set today on a decision by U.S. Customs agents at Logan Airport to deport a doctor from Brown University. A federal judge in Boston wants to know why Dr. Rasha Alloway was deported to Lebanon Friday while he had a valid visa. The doctor was deported despite a judge's order specifically blocking her from being removed from the country. President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East says Russia and Ukraine are now close to a deal that could end the war between the two countries. Stephen Witkoff told CNN's State of the Union that significant progress has been made during recent peace talks, and the two sides are closing in on an agreement. President Trump says he expects to speak to Vladimir Putin about that by tomorrow. And powerful storms that tore through the South and the Midwest over the weekend being blamed for dozens of deaths. Over 36 people have been killed across multiple states. Preliminary reports show the majority of those deaths happened in Missouri, where at least 12 people died.
That is horrible.
It is. Luckily, the storms, I guess, didn't really do too much damage locally, but...
Yeah.
It was pretty windy though on Saturday night. Were you out and about in any of that?
I was at about 7 o'clock, just before the thunder and the lightning. I took my dog out.
First round of storm.
I took my dog out and it was pretty windy. But then I am a pretty light sleeper. I went to bed at about 10 o'clock and there had been some pretty big thunder and lightning. But after that, I didn't hear any significance. And then when I went out the next morning to take the dog out, there was, you know, the little sticks and little tiny limbs that fall off trees when it's really, really windy. Wasn't much of that. And a lot of those trees, a lot of that stuff that we have around right now, the freeze has made a lot of those things more dead than they ever have been. Getting all that snow, I was really concerned that with heavy winds, we might see a lot of trees down because they have been dying because of all of that off. And I think the winds were not nearly as, just from the debris of leaves and things that you see on the ground, I didn't see any significant limbs off of any trees or anything around. And so I think it was a rainy, windy, blustery day, but not super horribly stormy.
Yes, I know. I was at the Santa Rosa County EOC for that evening and, reporting for news radio. And, you know, it was windy. I'm going to give you that. My house in Milton didn't see, you know, much of nothing. I think there was a little chair blown over or something. Just, you know, remember these storms.
Yeah. But I do think that it was, you know.
It was good that we were prepared and that they gave us warning.
Yeah. And I think that in this situation, unlike sometimes you get warnings and the storm proves to be much ado about nothing. for us, that was the case because the storms were about 50 to 60 miles north of us.
And luckily, it was moving in a northeastern pattern.
But I think when you see the there were tens, I think upwards of 50 tornadoes that this storm produced, some not far from us, just north of us.
Right.
And so I don't think that the abundance of caution that was laid out ahead of time was unfounded. I just think we were very lucky that it did, you know, early in the day on Saturday, it looked like the most nasty of it was going to be just north of us. But that's easy to say hours ahead of time as opposed to days ahead of time, that a little bit further south and it could have been not great.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, it was, you know, very, very happy for us that we missed most of it, but it was good. And, you know, answered prayers for a lot of folks to not have to deal with. And we're getting tornadoes now, which is weird. I grew up in Oklahoma where we had tornadoes all the time.
Oh.
Here, it's weird. I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
Foster. President Trump says he'll speak to Russia's President Putin tomorrow about ceasefire talks with Ukraine.
We'll be talking about land. We'll be talking about power plants. That's a big question.
The president tells reporters on Air Force One, you have to speak to the lawyers about whether he's violated a court order preventing, for now, deportations under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act.
The Trump administration did not refuse to comply with a court order, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says, after the administration flew hundreds of suspected migrant gang members to El Salvador and Honduras. Levitt says while the order from a federal district court judge had no lawful basis, it was issued after the migrants were already out of U.S. territory and airspace.
Fox's Jared Halpern in D.C. At least 40 storm deaths are reported in the South and Midwest. Hundreds of homes and businesses are destroyed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 39 degrees reported right now in Pensacola. A church in Atmore burned down on Saturday during all those storms, apparently following lightning strikes in the area. The First Presbyterian Church went up in flames shortly after lightning was reported.
We've got so many good people that attend church here that will be here in the morning, well, later today, looking for a sermon and a church service. It's difficult to share the future right now since we're not sure. The only thing we know that's in our future is rebuilding our church, getting our people back in that building.
Now, that is church elder Stephen Shirley. Services on Sunday morning did still happen on the church lawn. The church says their first goal now is to find a temporary location for services until they rebuild. They believe that could take somewhere in the neighborhood of a year. The Milton Rotary Club made a big donation to Magdalene's recently, a nonprofit that helps raise awareness about sex trafficking and supports survivors in Northwest Florida. Executive Director Angie Ishii says community support is crucial, and that money will help provide job skills and support for trafficking survivors. Police officers in Daphne are looking for a missing 64-year-old. Officers say Kathleen Lazarek may be living with a medical condition that impairs her judgment. She was last seen in Daphne Saturday night. Photos are posted on the Daphne police social media pages. Well, NASA says there's no special celebrations being planned for the two astronauts who've now had an unexpected 9-month stay on the International Space Station. NASA spokesman Steve Stitch last Friday.
We're excited to get Crew 9 back, and I know Butch and Sonny are excited to come back. And then we'll celebrate, you know, when they're ready.
And Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore originally had planned to be on the International Space Station for about a week. Problems with the Boeing Starliner forced them to stay much longer than that. Crew 9 is scheduled to depart the space station Wednesday morning. NASA, though, did not say when the splashdown could happen. The search for a missing diver in Broward County has met a sad end. The Coast Guard said yesterday they have suspended the search for diver Jack Levine. The 24-year-old went missing off of Pompano Beach on Saturday. The Coast Guard says they searched 1,500 square miles, but there was no sign of the man. New sportsplex in the works for Bellevue. Developers want to provide facilities for baseball, basketball, and softball. That plan could include two 15,000-square-foot buildings on a 2.4-acre site off Mobile Highway. It would have batting cages, basketball courts, office space, and accessible restrooms. The proposal was filed earlier this month, but so far has not been reviewed by the Escambia County Development Review Committee. The land is currently owned by a local businessman that purchased it last year. 635 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still rolling accident-free this morning. Good news on that. I-10, I-110 are looking good, and even 98. Through Windhaven Beaches. I don't see any backups there either, so we're looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Beautiful and sunny for today with a high near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping that sunshine around for Tuesday with a high near 69 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49. For Wednesday, sunny skies again with a high near 73 and a low near 55. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Now seeing 46 degrees across the board here around the area. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will be parsing through the upcoming economic data for any signs of an economic slowdown. The U.S. retail sales report is set to release this morning will give insight into the state of the consumer. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect retail sales to have increased 0.6% in February. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Oil prices traded higher this morning after the United States vowed to keep attacking Yemen's Houthis until the Iran-aligned group ends its assaults on ships in the Red Sea. Brent futures rose 0.7% to $71.06 a barrel, while U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures also rose 0.7% to $67.65 a barrel. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro has announced Sharon Regional Medical Center is preparing to reopen tomorrow, pending the transfer of the hospital license to new owners, Tenor Health Foundation Sharon LLC. The hospital closed January 6th as part of a financial restructuring. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew Through to the Early Learning Sensory Garden. Thank you.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in tomorrow at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Morning News. The text line is up at 850-437-1620. St. Patrick's Day. Hope you're wearing your green. Hope you are ready to celebrate all things Irish culture. We've seen some Irish dancing this morning and various things that we associate with Ireland. I don't know how much Irish dancing they actually do in Ireland, but we consider it to be part of the culture.
David's quite talented at it.
Is he?
I was really surprised he's in the newsroom doing that, but we love you, David.
Yeah. Over the weekend, there was an article in the Pensacola News Journal that Gay Vallimont has raised almost $7 million in her quest to win the special election that is on April Fool's Day, I believe, April 1st, to take over for the retired stepping away from Congress, Matt Gaetz. And that may seem like a fool's errand. However, history has shown us that special elections following a first-term president are very unique. Special elections around the country historically have sometimes caused some election results that are baffling. In the last 15 years, 16 years, Scott Brown, a little-known Republican state senator in Massachusetts, won the U.S. Senate race. He was there for a very short time. Republicans have won congressional seats in Hawaii, in some very liberal areas of Los Angeles. And so there may be opportunity for a Democrat to win in this very, very red section of our country because Republicans have won in very, very blue sections of the country when it has come to special elections. And the reason behind this is typically voter motivation. Right now, Democrats, people who voted against Donald Trump, are mortified at what they're seeing happen to government. They are engaged into what is happening. They are not a fan of many of these things. And to be fair, at times the president does not help himself in gaining the ire of people when he proclaims himself a king or he does so many things unilaterally. This weekend he was told by the courts not to extradite folks to El Salvador and did it anyway. There are things that rightfully so are concerning about how President Trump presents himself. But to those people who voted against him, they are enraged, and Gay Vallimont is betting on them being engaged, that they are going to show up. Special elections are always low voter turnout, and to take advantage of all of the stars aligning to surprise and upset the CFO, Donald Trump endorsed Jimmy Patronis, on Election Day. I've seen ads tying Jimmy Patronis to the insurance industry. He's not from here. She is spending money in an attempt to do this. And also, the balance of power in U.S. Congress is so narrow that Democrats around the country are also engaged I saw some articles where they are participating in phone banking in places like California and Oregon and Vermont to phone bank into voters here in Northwest Florida in Congressional District 1 and also down in Congressional District, I believe it's 13, where State Senator Randy Fine is the Trump-endorsed candidate in that race to attempt to win that race, that Democrats are over-engaging in hoping to win one of these two seats, and there's some seats around the country where Donald Trump has brought people into his administration, that they are hoping to win those seats so that they are able to shift the balance of power. And Democrats are engaged right now. They are engaged in social media. They are engaged in all of the things. And so it will be interesting. I think that Gabe Alamont still has a uphill battle to win her congressional seat, but it will be interesting to see what those election results are on election day, to see with money, with support both of you know, elbow grease and dollars, if she is able to make a dent, maybe make a surprise, but at least make a dent that gives Democrats something to be excited about here in Congressional District 1. And we will see that on April 1st when that election is held. And next hour, we are going to have Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender in to talk more about the election, where you can vote early, all of those wonderful things about the process. It is 6:45 in the morning. It is time for Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free this morning. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Other than that, we're doing good this morning. I'm proud of you. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. 'Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Earlier on, we talked about one of our state representatives, Michelle Salzman's bill that would roll back some of the gun restrictions that were placed on particularly folks who are from 18 to 21 after the Marjorie Stoneman shooting in South Florida. Another bill by one of our state representatives that is making some headway and making some headlines is Representative Alex Andrade has House Bill 69, which allows for the construction of the Donald Trump Presidential Library here in the state of Florida. And it also ensures that any basically local folks who may not like a Donald Trump Presidential Library, they would not be allowed to place roadblocks, to prevent, to do anything to not allow the Donald Trump Library to be built. I think this is a wonderful piece of legislation. I think the presidential library should be able to be built wherever the president wants it to be built. I think that, you know, the Obama library, the George W. Bush library is, you know, all of these libraries should be allowed to be built. They are a testament to the president. They should be allowed to be built wherever the president wants them to be built at. And so I am hopeful that this bill is something that makes it across the finish line and it sets the stage for the President Donald Trump Presidential Library. I would have to assume that it's possible that Donald Trump would build it in New York City, but I think it's far more likely that it's going to be built very, very near Mar-a-Lago in South Florida, and it will be a presidential library that will be a testament to President Donald Trump's presidency, where he will join Grover Cleveland, I think that's right, as the only president who has served in two non-consecutive elections. Pretty sure it's Grover Cleveland. I'm sure that somebody will text in at 850-437-1620 to correct me if my presidential history is wrong, but I believe it's Grover Cleveland is the only other president who had served, was defeated, and then won a secondary race to become president again. But hats off to Representative Andrade. I think this bill is a really, really good piece of legislation that will enable the library to be built without people may not like the library being built in their backyard, but the fact of the matter is it's going to be built, and a piece of legislation like this just kind of ensures that we don't endure future controversy over something that is going to happen, whether or not people want it to or not. It is something that, that the man was elected president. He has the right and the honor to have a library built in his name. It is something we allow all of our presidents to do, and the folks that live in Broward County should not be allowed to throw roadblocks up. And so I am excited that Representative Andrade's bill has cleared committee, and it is heading to the floor, hopefully maybe as soon as next week. I know that Alex will be on the radio later with you, and I'm sure he will give lots of updates and insights and all of the behind the scenes on what's going on behind House Bill 69 that will enable this to happen. But I think at times that a lot of things are the controversy that could brew up about something like this is because people don't prepare ahead of time. And by doing this preparation ahead of time, you kind of roundabout any potential future headaches by just saying, you're not going to throw roadblocks up. This is going to happen, and we're going to build a library there in Broward County next to Mar-a-Lago. He hasn't said that's where it's going to be yet, but I think we are all under the assumption that that's where it is going to be. And so I think that what we're seeing is our legislatures here in up here in Escambia County are doing a tremendous job, and they're carrying heavy water. Like, these are two bills that are pretty significant as to what's happening in the state of Florida, and it sounds like both these bills are well on their way to being passed and becoming Florida law. It is about 6:52 in the morning. It is time to head over to the news desk, see how things are going over there.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A hearing set today by U.S. Customs agents. They'll be discussing a decision recently to deport a doctor from Brown University. A federal judge in Boston wants to know why Dr. Rasha Holloway was deported to Lebanon Friday while in possession of a valid visa, despite the judge's order. President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East says Russia and Ukraine are now closer to a deal to end the war between the two countries. Steve Witkoff told CNN that significant progress has been made during recent peace talks, and he says he believes the two sides are closing in on an agreement. And Matt Richtman is now the first American to win the Los Angeles Marathon in 31 years. He's from Illinois and competed in Sunday's race. He completed that in 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 56 seconds. He beat out the second largest field in L.A. Marathon history.
Good for him. It is 6:53 in the morning. I'm Jeremy Evans, filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. The NCAA tournament is out. The brackets are out. The number one seed is the Auburn, the men's number one overall seed, the Auburn Tigers. I know there are lots of big Tiger fans here in Northwest Florida. the University of Florida also getting a one seed. Alabama gets a high seed. Tennessee gets a high seed. The SEC gets 14 of 16 teams in the SEC tournament, which is just an unreal number. The highest it's ever been, the previous highest, was 11. So, and then it's also the highest percentage of a conference to ever get their thing, their schools in. The madness starts tomorrow night in Dayton, Ohio. The first four, you get games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think that I had read somewhere that Thursday and Friday are the biggest call out of work sick days annually. As people are starting to think about they're starting their coughs now, so that they can set themselves up for Thursday and Friday. Oh, boss, I just don't feel great.
I'm not doing good.
My throat is starting to feel a little scratchy. May have the COVID. Who knows? Who knows? It is 6:55. It is time for traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, even Highway 90, the Garcelon Point Bridge are all moving smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
That is wonderful to hear that we are traffic free.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's easier on me, too.
Yeah, just to be able to look down and see
that there's... Oh, I know. I was like, yeah, this is nice.
And it's spring break, no buses out there, no...
That is true.
None of that stuff going on, and we may see throughout the day some traffic increases. People are heading out to the beach. But not the normal traffic of around town trying to get
the schools
to all of the places. Earlier this morning, just to touch back on a story we talked about earlier, just because if you weren't with us at 5 a.m. this morning, I think this is more humorous than any in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They are in the process. There's a piece of legislation up that would add Trump derangement syndrome to the number of mental health diagnoses that you could receive in it. I think it is possibly more of a dig than anything else at the legislation, but I really do think it's interesting of I can understand the theory of how somebody is diagnosed with that, but what is the treatment? What is the treatment for Trump derangement syndrome? And it just seems like Clockwork Orange type, you know, somebody's eyes being held open while they're forced to watch Donald Trump clips and those kind of things. It is a very interesting idea. Not that they're trying to do it, but what they would do if they actually diagnosed somebody and got them into a situation, into a hospital or something like that for a mental health issue. And now it is time for some future news. Earlier this morning, we talked about the tariffs and what Trump's trying to do economically in the country. My question to you is, a year from now, has Trump mostly instituted the tariffs that he would like to institute on other countries and their goods?
Yes.
You
I'm going to say
so?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that there is a chance that, I will say at least half of them are. He may strategically use them to get other things, but I think that this is not an empty threat. I think this is something that he is actually attempting to do.
The art of a deal.
The art of a deal. And then the second thing, more on a local, and I'm going to talk more about this later, but more on a local news, there's been more and more back and forth. Do we get a statue to Chappie James and paid for by some form of funding pot, whether it's TDC or just county commission pays for it or private funding? Do we get one of those within the next year?
I'm going to say yes. I really want to see it.
I really do. I think it's one of those things that the answer is going to be yes, and I think it's possible that with all of the conversation about TDC funding and whether or not this is going to happen and this is going to happen, when everybody says we want it to happen, we just don't know how it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And my guess is it may actually be private funded. That enough people are coming together to say we want to see this happen, that they get together, they find money, even if it's a GoFundMe or something along those lines, that I think they could crowdfund the money they need, because the money seems like a lot of money. But I think there's enough people in Northwest Florida and Escambia County that want to see this happen that you could crowdfund at least most of it, and maybe the county and the city of Pensacola kind of help it get across the finish line. But I think it happens. Next hour, we're going to have Robert Bender on talking about special election. I am Jeremy Evans filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.